KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have partly to mostly cloudy skies, 66 degrees in Atlantic. We look for scattered showers this morning and this afternoon, a high around 88. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindemann Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. Radar shows some showers over the western half of Harrison County, moving to the northeast. Those showers are the heaviest band between Logan and Missouri Valley, and then up to around Ottawa. In the news, Atlantic Fire and Rescue was called to the scene of a residence at 408 Front Street Tuesday evening for what appeared to have been a lightning strike. The call came in just before 6 p.m. The residents and their animals got out safely. Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese said there was smoke in the attic, but there was no obvious sign of a lightning hit.
That's actually we got to locate where the fire or where the smoke was coming from, and the smoldering was in the attic, but we started looking around and really not finding any lightning entrance or exit, and kept investigating and finding out where the seeing the burnt wiring and tracing it back, and I believe we traced it back. There's an extension cord plugged into a couple of them into a pool pump out back, and it has exploded, and I think that water got in it probably from previous rain or this rain and tripped it and blew their breaker box and all the breakers inside, and I believe that's what they took as lightning strike.
McNeese said cleanup began of the area affected by the electrical issues. He also reminded residents of the dangers of improper electrical hookups.
We took insulation out from the attic, got down, got all of it out that had been smoldering, and got to where we're good in there, and then we could see the electrical. I guess one thing I would say is quite a bit of wiring hooked together there, that there was a junction box, but it wasn't in it. That's why they make the junction boxes. That wiring would be in there.
There was no structural damage to the home, and the power was cut off until an electrician can effect repairs sometime today. Later, McNeese told KJAN News that a firefighter who lives nearby saw the lightning in the area, and upon further consideration, he said it's believed a bolt struck somewhere near the pool, possibly finding a path to the wiring. Firefighters were on the scene for nearly an hour. So storms that passed through the area yesterday brought straight-line winds, causing damage, power outages, and street flooting. In Cass County, just before 5 p.m., there was a barn blown down at 68475 Independence Road. That's about a mile south of Wyota, the Beth McDermott farm. There were no injuries reported. Severe weather and straight-line winds in the Shelby area caused a large power outage in that area Tuesday evening. Five Nishnabotna REC power poles near Shelby were snapped off, causing the outage. In Crawford County, nickel-sized hail fell west-southwest of Dow City by about 5 miles. In Dallas County, a 2-foot-diameter tree fell on I Avenue, 4 miles north of Earlham. In Montgomery County, emergency management reported that torrential rain had caused street flooding in parts of Red Oak near the YMCA. Nickel-sized hail near Henderson fell at around 5:40 p.m., and 2.15 inches of rain fell there. Several small tree limbs were reported down near McClelland yesterday afternoon. Emergency management also reported in Pottawatomie County that a fifth-wheel trailer was overturned near Shelby. 30-inch diameter trees were blown over and power poles were snapped. Winds of up to 60 miles per hour and dime-sized hail were reported west-southwest of Neola just before 4 p.m. Nickel-sized hail fell yesterday near Panama at around 3:30 p.m. and 64-mile-per-hour winds were recorded south of Harlan at 3:35 p.m. A tree fell on a power line near Sydney in Fremont County, and power lines were down near Stanton in Montgomery County yesterday. Well, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources Tuesday evening released additional information about an apparent drowning that occurred at Lake Manawa Monday afternoon. The drowning happened in the swimming area near the Lake Manawa beach at around 1:15 p.m. when 16-year-old Edgar Gregorio Loarca Garcia of Omaha, Nebraska, went under the water and did not resurface. It's believed that Garcia was a non-experienced swimmer. Officials say while his death does not appear to be suspicious, an autopsy will be conducted. The swimming area at the Lake Manawa Beach will likely be closed for the remainder of this week while an investigation into this apparent drowning continues. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources, Parks Bureau, and Law Enforcement Bureau were assisted by Council Bluffs Fire Department, Omaha Fire Department's dive team, the Iowa State Patrol, Council Bluffs Police Department, and Pottawatomie County Medical Examiner's Office. Iowans are being reminded about the risks of inner tubing after an Omaha teen died Monday while tubing at Lake Manawa. Todd Robertson, a spokesman for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, says with the heat indices soaring lately, even though you're surrounded by water, you still need to drink plenty of fluids while tubing.
You have to drink enough water because heat exhaustion can come onto you. Even though you're relaxing in a tube and just floating down the river, if that's what you're doing, it still takes a little bit of energy, and plus you've got the sun beating down on you, so you have to stay hydrated.
Robertson says inner tubes can be difficult to control, especially with all the recent rain and swift-moving water.
You have your hands and you have your feet. You don't have a paddle. So you're basically at the mercy of the current when you're in a tube. So some of these rivers that are really high in the state right now, you have no business being on anyway. And if you're on one in a tube, chances are you're going to end up in some of that debris.
Robertson says higher water levels often hide down trees and branches. He says river users can enjoy the scenery but need to keep an eye downstream to avoid any hazardous surprises. He also suggests bringing along a buddy and letting those at home know where you're going. In the funeral announcements, Carolyn Jonk, age 81, of Hancock, died Sunday. A celebration of life for Carolyn Jonk will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Walnut Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arranged. Leon Joseph Joe Skank, age 58, of Omaha, died Saturday. Funeral services for Joe Skank will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Lus Hills Funeral Home in Carson. Max Clint, age 89, of Avoca, died May 24th. Funeral services for Max Clint will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Altamont Baptist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Gene Weiss, age 78, of Exira, died May 23rd. A mass of Christian burial for Gene Weiss will be Thursday at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care of Anita has the arrangements. Betty Young, age 87, of Audubon, died Sunday. Funeral services for Betty Young will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. And Doris Reinhardt, age 85, of Fontenelle, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Doris Reinhardt are pending at Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.